Have you ever been curious about using AI to do your note-taking after your therapy sessions? The admin juggle is real. Using AI to transcribe my notes has quite literally changed my practice forever.
I'm going to be running a 70-minute webinar that you can join live and you can have access to after and watch as many times as you would like. I'm running this on Friday, the 25th of April, 2025. So put the date in your diary.
This is a step-by-step guide on how to use Heidi Health, the note-taking AI software for therapists. If you're curious about how it works, including concerns around consent and GDPR, or if you're already using it and want to ensure that you're maximising the features, then this webinar is for you. Join me and sign up at masteringtherapy.com or click the link in the show notes.
Welcome to the Mastering Therapy podcast with me, Dr. Natalie Stock, clinical psychologist. This is a show for psychologists, psychotherapists, and counsellors who are looking to build on their therapy skills, increase confidence in working with clients, and be inspired by alternative models, tools, and ways of working. Join my guests and me as we learn from one another and aim to take insights and put them into action.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode, which I've titled How to Use AI to Enhance Your Practice. I have really been looking forward to doing this one because probably for the last 18 months, I've used AI as part of my practice. I've experimented, I've spoken to a couple of founders of these tech companies, and I have discovered so much just in trial and error. So this episode is going to be sharing my learnings with you. And regardless of where you are on the spectrum of embracing AI or refusing to have anything to do with it, I hope that there'll be parts of this that are really useful. If you're listening to this and you've been doing this therapy game for a while, you've got your systems and it's working well, and you think you have little desire to change, I encourage you to hang in there, because this episode is not just about using AI to scribe our notes, which I think is the most obvious way that we can integrate it. AI is already being used in lots of different ways within therapeutic settings. You'll probably be most familiar with the concept of a virtual therapist, so using chatbots and things to replicate traditional therapy. Other ways it's used are, you know, predictive analytics or as tools for diagnosing mental health conditions. I'm not going to be talking about that today. This episode is all about if you are delivering therapy on a regular basis, the various ways that you can use AI to build, enhance, and grow your practice. So spoiler alert, this is what I'm going to be covering. My intro is about the technology life cycle. It's a bit of theory, but I think it's really interesting because it gives us some understanding of how we end up adopting new technology and incorporating it into society. And then I'm going to section the podcast into the various practical applications of the many ways that you can use it. And that includes how you can use AI to write your notes, using it to improve writing, using it to analyse data, idea generation, using it for feedback on your therapy sessions or as supervision, and finally using it to create your own marketing coach. AI is being rapidly integrated into pretty much every area of our lives, but it is still very new, and there are lots of important questions about the ethics, the reliability, the security of using these machines. I'm going to attempt to address the various concerns that people have about using AI, particularly when working with clients. And I think it's important to acknowledge that there is often a disparity between how we feel about when we're using it to look up restaurant recommendations for a new holiday location, and then using it when working with client data, which is incredibly sensitive and incredibly private. There's lots in this episode, so let's dive in. I'll start by clarifying what we mean by AI or artificial intelligence. Essentially, AI systems perform tasks that historically would have required human intelligence. So this might be things like analysing data, understanding and interpreting language, decision making. And then you might be thinking, well, where do these AI systems even get their data? There's not really one answer for this, because the answer is, well, it's multiple sources. And depending the type of AI system you're using, it will be slightly different. But this can include things like medical literature and research, publicly available clinical databases, user-provided data, health guidelines. And this is changing all of the time. The incredible thing about these systems is that they're always learning, and their knowledge grows as what we understand grows. And so it's not like it's fixed. As the landscape of data sources evolves, depending on advancements in technology or maybe in data accessibility and regulation, so does the responses of the AI machines. Starting with the technology adoption lifecycle, I thought this would just be a bit of fun to start with, to think about where you're at in terms of adopting technology into your practice. There's a sociological model developed in the 1960s by a man called Everett Rogers, and he termed this the diffusion of innovations theory. And the core premise is that the adoption of a new idea, behaviour, or product doesn't just happen simultaneously across a system. Rather, it's a process and it occurs over time and is influenced by various factors. And he came up with five adopter categories that represent this life cycle. So my question to you is, as I go through these, where do you sit? So it begins with the innovators. This is the first 2.5% of you to jump in, often the first to adopt new technologies. These are the risk takers. They're the enthusiasts who provide crucial early feedback. Next, you've got the early adopters. These make up around 13.5% of the population. And these are the ones that start emerging trends. They endorse new technology. And these are the ones that pave the way, making it more appealing for others. So they tend to be opinion leaders or influencers. They're critical because they reduce the uncertainty for the larger population. Next, we've got the early majority, and these are about 34%. They're more cautious, but they're ready to adopt once they've seen successful results. They're a little bit more deliberate, but they're open. And then after them, you've got, you guessed it, the late majority. This is about another 34%. And these people adopt it out of necessity. So they need a lot of proof of the benefits. They're quite skeptical and risk averse. So they need the evidence of the benefits before they're willing to change. And then lastly, I think it's quite a funny term, the laggards. So this is the last 16%. And these people, they stick to tradition and they only switch when absolutely necessary. So I would say if you're still using paper notes, and even with all the many different tools around electronic systems and note-taking software, iPads, Remarkables, you're still stuck to your paper notes. It's not yet absolutely necessary. The idea is that by looking at market behavior, businesses can tailor their marketing strategies and drive technology adoption across the various different segments. I wonder where you are. The first one I'm going to talk about, and maybe the most obvious, is using AI to write your notes. I've seen on loads of different forums, which is the best platform to write your notes? Now, obviously, this is going to be based on individual opinion. I've tried quite a few of the AI scribes, the various different platforms, and lots of them claim to do the same thing. What is out there, at its most simple, is software that will listen to your therapy session. It will transcribe it. It will then organize the transcription into coherent headings, and usually you can decide how you would like this to appear. Most of these scribes already have a template that they would use, and usually you can pick the level of detail that you would like. And then once you've got this note, you then would upload it onto whatever software you use to store your notes. The benefit of this is that you can create your own templates, so you can tell the AI model exactly what information you want to capture and how you'd like it displayed. The main idea behind this is that it's reducing our administration time, that we can be more present with our clients because we don't need to worry about scribbling down everything that they say or that we have to rely on the fallibility of our own memories. It can capture information in a really concise way. This is already being used in many, many services. Lots of GP surgeries and healthcare providers are already using this kind of technology. I don't know how long the NHS will take to get on board with it. That's another kettle of fish. Just like we move from having everything on paper to computers, I don't think it's going to take long for this kind of technology to become so routine, we'll wonder why we ever questioned using it in the first place. In terms of how it actually works, if you're seeing someone in person or you're seeing them online, you have this browser open and you simply click record. You don't have to input any of the client's information. Now, some of these AI systems do take it a step further, and they take the liberty of suggesting therapeutic interventions or diagnoses. They might suggest a brief formulation or create some hypotheses. So you do have to be mindful with it. But on the whole, I have found this to be so valuable, and I now cannot imagine my practice without using this. The reason it's so valuable is that it is the biggest time saver. I tend to do 50-minute appointments, so I give myself 10 minutes after every session just to have a breather, to write my notes, and to grab a drink. 10 minutes is actually not that much time if you're seeing someone for the first time, if you're going through questionnaire scores. So reducing this admin time is essential, in my opinion. And when you've got a pre-organized note that's captured most of the conversation, all I need to do is go through it and check it. And if it's missing something, then you can ask it. It's almost like having a conversation with a person. It's something that you can tweak and change. Not only does it capture more information than I know I can hold in my mind, but it organizes it much more effectively and efficiently than I would be able to do. So coming on to the key things to think about if you're going to use AI as part of your therapy sessions. The number one question is this GDPR compliant? As we know, that is so important when we're thinking about processing data, storing sensitive data, security measures around it, consent, data subject rights. All of that comes under the umbrella of GDPR. So the thing to look for is it GDPR compliant? I'll come on to talking about the different AI scribes that you can use in a second. But the second thing that people ask a lot about after they've asked about is it GDPR compliant is, what about getting consent from clients? And obviously the most essential thing is that the client is aware that we're using this. Their consent is really important. Because I now use this routinely, I actually have a separate consent form specifically for AI. And this is where I go through what it is, how the data is stored, etc. Have I had people say they would rather me not use it? Yes. And in those instances, I don't use it. And for those clients, I just use what I've always done, which is taking notes and then frantically trying to fit my note writing within the 10 minutes I've given myself. And so which one do I use? If you're interested in using AI and you'd like to give it a go, this would be my suggestion. I've tried 3 different programs and I've tried them for a good amount of time with a few different clients. And those are Heidi Health, Nabla, and Freed. Each of those have their pros and cons, and I've got a link to my blog that you can go on if you want a little bit more detail. But to save you from reading all that, the one that I landed on and the one that I use in my practice is called Heidi. The reason I use Heidi is that it is built for therapists and that has so much that you can do once you're in the platform that can enhance your practice. Just to say, I'm not being paid to promote this, nor are they paying for advertising. This is solely my opinion. And I do have an affiliate link attached to this episode if you do want to consider joining. You can find that link in the show notes, and this will give you 1 month of Heidi Pro for free, where you can try all of the features before you decide if you want to invest in the whole thing. So yes, it transcribes your notes, but it can generate letters, it can generate referrals, it can generate reports. I almost see it like having an assistant psychologist working alongside me. What it does do is really cut down on my note-taking time. It organizes underheadings that I give it in a really helpful way. So if I need to access information quickly, I can look and it's organized very neatly. That's probably saying something about my handwriting, which is difficult even for me to read. But I don't need to worry about that with this. I never actually see the transcription. All I see is the note. And the good thing about Heidi is that you can vary how detailed the note is. Something to think about if you do use an AI scribe is to think about whether you use clinical notes and progress notes or process notes, whatever you like to call them, whether you use those separately. So your clinical notes being the formal brief pieces of writing where you record that somebody attended and you might record a couple of sentences of the nature of what was discussed. Your progress, your therapy notes, those are your detailed notes that you use for your own reflection, supervision, and your own practice. So historically, I've always had those two as two separate things. Thankfully, now everything is electronic, so I don't have to worry about bits of paper flying around. But it is just worth noting that if your notes are called, you do need to think about what the client would be happy being shared and what you would be happy being shared, because there is obviously a risk if you blur the two together. Something else to note that you can do in Heidi, which I felt was slightly more limited with the other two programs that I used, there is a little button that says, ask Heidi to do anything. Say it had generated a note, but I felt like it was missing something. I could type in, what did the client say that their goals were, if the note hadn't captured that? And it would be able to generate in bullet points what the client's goals were. And then I can add that to the note. The other thing that I really like about Heidi is that you can customize your template. So I use EMDR in my sessions, and obviously things like the SUD, the validity of cognition, they're not going to be captured in my normal day-to-day therapy sessions. I could customize a template to look like the standard EMDR protocol so that it would listen out for what the SUD ratings were, what the negative cognition was. So it's really versatile in terms of what you can actually use it for. Another thing I've asked it to do in part of my templates is to capture any exercises or metaphors that I use. I use a lot of acceptance and commitment therapy in my work, and it's really hard to know how you keep track of whether I've used diffusion and what diffusion exercise I've used, or did we do values and which exercises did I do? What did I ask the client to do for their home practice? So you can program that into your template so that you've got your to-do at the end of a session. And you can also get it to keep a note of various different metaphors and exercises. I'm just going to take a minute to cover security, data storage, and privacy in relation to using Heidi Health. Heidi Health is GDPR compliant. If you're not from the UK, you can also find that it is HIPAA compliant. This stands for the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. And that's a US federal law that basically sets national standards for the protection of individuals' medical records and other personal health information. People are often concerned about where data is actually stored, that if some of these AI models store their data in servers that are abroad. And where servers are located is important because that enables user data and privacy to be better maintained, and it reduces the risk of security breaches. I can only take what Heidi say on their website, but it says that for users in Australia, Canada, the US and the United Kingdom and the EU, that data is stored locally within respective national boundaries. Again, how do they monitor security breaches? On their website, it's fairly vague, but they say they have round-the-clock monitoring, regular security assessment and incident response plans. And finally, another important consideration around using these models is, what do the companies do with the data that we give it? It's really important to look into this with whatever AI model you're using, because we need to know if the data that we're providing it is being sold to third parties. Again, this is from Heidi Health's website, but it says that they do not sell data to third parties. They might share data with service providers who will assist them in delivering their service, but it's under strict confidentiality agreements. The other question I get asked a lot is, how much does it cost? Now, if you're using Heidi Health, you can use it unlimited for free, but know that it is limited in its functionality and the speed at which it generates your notes. I've paid about £400 for the year. I think it's about £49 for the month. This is more than worth it. In comparison to its competitors, I actually haven't seen anything cheaper than using Heidi. The last thing I'll say about Heidi, it has this feature called Brain, which is a feature that allows you to personalize your experience and essentially pick left brain, which would mean that it interprets your note fast and unimaginative. It can lack detail, but is quite good for simple sessions. Or you can choose right brain and it views your transcription thoughtful and slow, can infer meaning, maybe better for more complex sessions. I just really like how they're trying to think out the box and think about what might be useful for therapy sessions. If you've got to the end of this and you're convinced that maybe you could give it a go and dip your toe into the AI world, maybe just get a friend and trial Heidi whilst having a discussion and see what it comes up with. The second way that we can use AI is to improve your writing. So this really comes into its own when we think about reports and blogs. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I know a lot of people don't have blogs, but most people at some point in their career will be writing reports. A really obvious way is using AI to check your grammar. You can ask it to suggest better word choices, and it can give you feedback on your clarity and coherence. So if you're writing a report to another health professional, you're probably going to use different language to when you're writing a report to a client. The thing that AI does really well is if you clarify what tone you would like, And if you clarify who the audience is, a lot of people go wrong with AI because they type something in asking it to do something and they might get a really informal, very casual response that doesn't actually fit what we're needing. If you've got one bulk text, you could ask it, please reword this writing to a neuropsychologist. Please include X, Y, and Z. If you're writing it to a client, you might ask it, please use informal language. Don't use any complex psychological terminology. So a lot of AI, I think, is just about getting your prompt with it right. Another little tip, if you've got letters you've previously written, you can upload it and you can say, write me a letter like the above, but for X, and then you tell it how you want the letter to differ. Just to give you a really practical example, after about my third session with a client the other day, we agreed that we would refer him for a neurodiversity assessment. I used the transcript and just asked the AI to generate a note to the GP, including some of the things we'd spoken about in the session. Obviously, I had to go back, I had to look at some of the history we'd spoken about in earlier sessions and add those bits in, but it saved me a lot of time. I would say this letter in total probably took me 10 to 15 minutes to do, so it is massively time saving. Just a quick note on the blog writing. I know people have used AI for blogs. I personally think you can spot an AI blog a mile off. That also goes for things like generating LinkedIn content or Instagram content. I think what AI can be really good at is helping you generate a structure for something, and you can feed it headings that you'd like it to include. It can order it in a way that maybe you hadn't thought about. I saw an Instagram post the other day and it was really clear that this was generated by AI. And I think if I can spot that as a human, then so can these search engines. We know that Google is moving away from AI generated content in what it shows up in searches. So if you're thinking about this from an SEO perspective, it's really important not to use AI to generate things like blog articles. One final thing just to say about writing, and that is formulations. I might do another episode on this because I feel like this is a whole topic in and of itself. And this would only work if you also use AI to transcribe your notes. I find with some clients, it's really helpful to write a therapeutic letter or to write out a psychological formulation alongside maybe a map that we've drawn out together. Generating psychological formulations is a really core skill of a psychologist. And as you know, these can be some of the most time-consuming parts of our work. AI is not going to do this for us, but it can help and it can cut down on the amount of time it takes. I can almost feel some of you recoiling at the idea of using a robot to write these, but hear me out. The way that I have done this is I have uploaded previous formulations that I have written, obviously all anonymized. I've then uploaded present day data of my notes and then asked it to generate either a therapeutic letter or I've asked it to create sections of a formulation. At least then I've got a draft. So it absolutely will not do this for you perfectly, but it does give you a framework. I have found it really useful and actually enables me to offer clients something that I wouldn't have been able to offer people before because I just simply didn't have the time. Analysing data and interpreting questionnaire scores. Previously, when I worked in the NHS, I would use questionnaires mainly as a pre and post measure. And actually, the client rarely got feedback on whether their scores had changed or even what those scores meant. So I make it a point that if I'm doing data collection as part of my private practice, which I do, I think it's important for clients to know what their scores mean. And so you can input scores into ChatGPT or something similar, and you can ask it to give you a paragraph summarizing or interpreting the results. Obviously, you have to check it over, but that can be, again, something that doesn't take too long and something that can be quite powerful for clients. The other thing, if you use questionnaires or you use feedback forms, or maybe you're delivering a workshop and you're getting lots and lots of people to feedback their responses, whether you're getting scores on a questionnaire or you're getting written feedback, AI can be a really great way of interpreting the data that you've got and summarizing it. Right before I left the NHS, we ran a workshop and we ran it to about 30 people and we had all of their feedback. And we wanted to know really quickly, what did people think? What were the things that they most commonly spoke about? What were a list of the improvements? And bearing in mind, this was all on a Google form and was something I actually would have done as an assistant. We put the answers in ChatGPT and just asked it to summarize people's responses. And it did a really great job. We didn't need it to be formal. We just needed to give an overview and something that we could report back. So I think it really is a great time saver and really effective when used like that. Idea generation. If you're reaching a bit of a roadblock, or you just can't get your creativity juices flowing, it can be really helpful to act as a colleague that you might bounce ideas off of, or you could ask it what other people might do, or has it got any suggestions? So I did this just to show you a couple of examples. I wrote, "I'm a clinical psychologist and running a group on trauma. This is a group of people in their 30s who've had a traumatic experience, and this is the first time that they're talking about it. Give me 5 things I should include as part of my presentation." It went on to talk about psychoeducation, the brain-body connection. It went on to talk about stabilization and grounding exercises. It was really good. So obviously all of these things need to be filtered, but if you're wanting quick ideas and you don't have people around that you can ask, it could be a good option. Another one I did, I said, "I'm running an away day to a group of NHS staff. They've asked for an icebreaker exercise. What are 5 ideas suited to adults in their 30s and 40s that don't really like cheesy games?" There really are so many options. You could use it for generating ideas in your practice. For example, if you wanted to ask it, "What are 5 different grounding exercises that I could do?" If you're thinking about creating a downloadable for your website, you could ask it, "Could you give me a few ideas of something that I could create to capture people's email addresses and create a download?" Leading on from this, next I'm going to talk about how maybe we could use AI as feedback for our therapy sessions or to act as an in-pocket supervisor. The role of AI in feedback and almost being like having your own supervisor in the room. Now, I was really skeptical when I heard about this, but like all things, you don't really know until you try. And I was incredibly impressed, I think, with all the various different parts of how AI can work. The note-taking, it doesn't feel very impressive because ultimately there are millions of models that are doing that. But so essentially we can use the AI tool to give us feedback on our therapy sessions. Obviously, we all have supervision as a requirement to continue to practice, but supervision is maybe weekly, monthly, depending on where you're at in your training. And the reality is that I find that I need feedback far sooner than I have supervision. Luckily, I've got some girls that I trained with, and we have a WhatsApp group, and we use that for peer supervision and for learning and ideas, and that's wonderful. But what if you don't have that? Or what if that's not available and you want immediate feedback? I said it before that I really am struck by how little interaction there is between colleagues. Once you're qualified and you've got your clients, it's very rare that you're observed, and it's very rare that we get feedback. And so this is a really good way that we can have feedback on our practice. And what it can do is it identifies patterns, maybe things that you spoke about. It can even make comment on therapist-client dynamics and even suggest interventions based on, you know, evidence-based guidelines. Now, I am definitely skeptical about this, and sometimes I read what it writes and I think it's not got this right at all. But that doesn't mean that it's not valuable. So I thought I'd test it. After I generated my notes, I asked it, "Analyze this transcript from the perspective of an acceptance and commitment therapist. Include any tools or suggestions that I could have used as part of the session." Now, I don't want to make this podcast too long, but it talked about the things that I did do and the ACT tools that we did speak about, but it also talked about other areas that I could have thought about, and they were very ACT-like. It was all different parts of the Hexaflex and tools that I'm familiar with. There was nothing rogue in there. I then used that same phrase and I changed it to, "Analyze this transcript from the perspective of a cognitive behavioral therapist. Analyze this transcript from the perspective of a schema therapist." I'm not going to be able to go through all of the results, but I have put it on the masteringtherapy.com website because I think this is really valuable learning. In short, I was really impressed. We don't have to follow through on the suggestions it makes, but it is interesting having that other voice that we wouldn't otherwise have. And if we're committing to be lifelong learners, and we're interested in improving and reflecting on how we can do things, I think this is a good tool for that. So I'd encourage you to head over to the website to have a look at what it came up with, but maybe give it a go. Using AI to create your own marketing coach. I realise that this is a bit of a different one and it's not going to be relevant to all of you. But if you have your own practice and you've been going a while and you're thinking about getting a coach or developing your practice, coaches are a natural step for people to think about because it's really valuable having a sounding board, that extra voice with expertise to help you think about where you might want to go. Coaching can also be very expensive, and if you're at the early stages of your career, you just might not have that much capital to be able to invest in that. This is where AI can be useful. Most people are familiar at this point with using ChatGPT. Now, you need to have the paid version, but on the playground function can create assistants. And without going into all the intricate detail, you can essentially train it to understand your business, understand your target client group, and you can fine tune it. So you can ask it to give you insights into your practice to help you think through an idea. It can analyze your practice's data, so your client demographics, engagement rates, and it can give you feedback. You can ask it some ideas for the most effective marketing strategies for your specific target audience. Essentially, it is like having a conversation with a coach. The more you give it, the more it learns, and the more accurate it can be for you personally. It might help you identify goals for the next 6 months, 12 months. So if you haven't played around with it, it's another option for different ways that you can use AI to enhance your practice. I hope that's given you a few ideas and inspired you to think about maybe using AI as part of your practice. I don't think it's something that we need to be scared of. I actually think we can use it to our advantage. AI is not going away. My encouragement to you would be to give it a go. I've really enjoyed experimenting with it in my practice beyond just scribing my notes. So the idea behind this episode is that you'll be inspired and maybe try something new. Thanks for joining me, and I will see you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode of Mastering Therapy. All of the resources mentioned are available in the show notes. If you're interested in getting more information on what's been covered this season, you can sign up to our mailing list or visit the website masteringtherapy.com. If you've listened to this and you've thought of someone you think would be great to interview on the podcast, submit a recommendation on the website. I'd love to hear from you. The Mastering Therapy podcast and the information provided by me and my guests is solely intended for qualified professionals for information and educational purposes. I look forward to you joining me next time.